1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
We don't do any real interviews on this show, as you know. And when we do, actually, we do real interviews. But when we do them, it's somebody who we think is really interesting, really special, and we want to bring to the table for you to hear them. I think the last live, actual, real person interview we did, where I wasn't talking to myself in a voice, was Gary Oldman, one of the greatest living actors of our age, perhaps the single greatest living actor of our age. And now we bring on somebody else, very special guy, a tremendous professional, and he is Captain Dale Dye. And Captain Dye, a good afternoon to you. I have to turn up the... Captain Dye, are you there? Okay, let's see. Oh, you know what? I hit the... Would you believe I hung up on the guy? So call him back. Would you call him back, please? You know, the big dramatic intro. And now I'd like to bring on Captain Dye? Are you there? Forgive me, Captain Dye. In a moment, we'll have Captain Dale Dye. I don't know. You know, I'm so used to... Just call a guy back. I'm so used to using that freaking character line for doing my character voices that I went to Bank B on it, and I hung up on the guy. That's why I said use one of the five lines there, Mike, so that I can blame you and not me. Are you having a hard time calling out now? It's busy at the moment. That's why I didn't want you to use that line. Use the other line so I'm familiar with going to the... See, it's your fault, not mine. You came in here and psychically made me push the button. Can you believe that? Well, we don't often have real interviews on this show, but when we do, we're sure to screw... Okay. Captain Dye, how are you, sir?
I'm well, Phil. How are you?
First of all, allow me to hang up on you, which is what I just did.
Yeah.
And what I was saying in my long preamble, which I rehearsed and was very dramatic, we often don't have real people on the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, we do want to bring on Captain Dale Dye. Let me just say this about Captain Dye. If you saw Saving Private Ryan, for instance, and you noticed the realism, the military choreography, if you will, I hope that's a phrase that I'm coining that is acceptable to you, Dale. Do you see that as kind of choreographing the military scenery there in those films?
Yeah. Sure, Phil. It's choreographing combat.
If you saw that, Captain Dye was the one who was the military advisor on that film, Saving Private Ryan. If you saw Platoon, Captain Dye had a tremendous influence on that film. If you are a fan of and have seen the current HBO series Band of Brothers, you are also serving in a similar capacity, correct, Captain?
Absolutely. That was my project. Yeah.
And it's just tremendous work. And, you know, I was a huge fan of the film. I haven't seen Band of Brothers yet for a variety of reasons, the number one reason being all of the things that have been going on over the past week. But I understand it's tremendous. It's a great... If I can say this, it's a great time to have that on the air at HBO for people to see what our country was dealing with. But you've also been involved, and Dale, I don't want to read off this list of movies because I know there may be a few that you wished you hadn't been a part of.
You're right, yeah.
I know you're proud of your work on Saving Private Ryan, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Better projects.
And Platoon?
Yes, absolutely.
What were your favorite projects?
Well, I think you just named two of them, and if you throw Band of Brothers in there, you've just about got them all.
Got them all covered, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason is, frankly, they go beyond entertainment. I mean, unsuspectedly, they had a huge effect on the nation. I mean, a thing like a movie, an entertainment, two hours or 10 hours in the case of Band of Brothers, somehow has hit the pulse or the heart of the nation. Things have happened. People have opened up. We've come to realize what it was all about. And that's a pretty heady deal to be part of.
Man, there's so much stuff I want to ask you about. First of all, I want to tell people also that you are a veteran of the Vietnam conflict. You were there two tours. Is my understanding correct? 65 and 67 through 70, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Two tours, Purple Hearts, Bronze Star, Marine Corps. You were, I believe, a sergeant, and then you promoted to the rank of captain.
Worked my way up.
You did. Right. Here's what I want to ask you, Dale. Because we've had questions here on the show, and the interesting thing, you guys are going to find this interesting, that Captain Dye, when he was working with Tom Hanks on Saving Private Ryan, and you were putting those actors through a boot camp, and Tom Hanks, you assigned the name Turd Number One.
Yeah.
And I believe that, who was Turd Number Two? I don't know who was
Turd. Turd Number Two was an actor by the name of Tom Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore was Turd Two, yeah, because he was in the film, he was the sergeant, he was the top kick, more or less, correct?
There were Turds 3 through 6. But,
and Turd Three, would that be Matt Damon?
No, that would have been, well, probably, I can't remember.
Ed Burns?
Burns, yeah.
It's just tremendous. And you put these actors through a boot camp so that they would get some semblance of an understanding of what these men go through. Now, here's what the first thing I'd like to ask you. I'd love to ask you about the movies. I'd love to ask you about your career. But right now, you know what the country's thinking about. And we've had people calling, and they've said, well, is this generation ready? And my response was, and I'm not a military man, these kids are as ready as their officers will be, correct?
Yeah, they're
leaders.
Yeah, you know, what we're doing here, Phil, is we are going to see, despite the fact that under previous administrations and so on and so forth, the military had sort of deteriorated in terms of, you know, political correctness getting in the way of combat training and facilities deteriorating and so on and so forth. But we're going to see these kids, believe me, I know this from experience, we're going to see these kids step up to the plate. I mean, they are ready. They're anxious to do anything the nation is going to call on them to do, and by God, they're going to carry it out.
And the great thing is that we do have a leadership in place in the military, men who have practical experience in the Gulf War, the top echelons experience in Vietnam. So there is combat experience there among the officers that are leading these kids, correct?
There is, but I don't know how helpful it's going to be.
Okay.
This, you know, as all of the pundits on all of the channels and stations throughout the world have been saying, is a different war, and they're very right. It's not the Gulf, and it sure as hell isn't Vietnam. There's not, you know, an enemy army that we can fire and maneuver against. This is going to take finesse. This isn't the time for tomahawks and standoff. Rocket and bomb attacks by aviation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time when we've got to have guys on the ground who will go in and, as President Bush said, smoke them out of their holes, because that's the only way we're going to do it correctly, and I think it's the only way we're going to do it effectively.
Now, in the military, you call that the operational art, do you, or what is that, tactics?
Yeah, well, it's an unbalanced, what we call asymmetrical war.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where you can look for the other guy's maneuver and try to react to his advantage and so on and so forth. So it's not a standard deal.
Now, so in other words, what you're talking about, Dale, is what many have talked about, and that is if I may use lay terms, and if I'm incorrect, let me know.
Sure.
This is a quick strike commando style war. Is that a accurate description?
You're accurate, except for one qualifier, Phil, and that's quick.
Okay.
Quick it ain't.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be, because
it's not a game of asteroids. We'll go in and we'll get him and we'll pull him out within minutes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it isn't that kind of target. I mean, we got to get him running so that we can spot him.
Got it.
And I just don't mean Bin Laden and Al Qaeda. I'm talking about sleeper operatives that he's got all over the world, in Frankfurt, in the UK.
Yeah.
And we got to smoke those Joes out of their hole.
Now, is this a task for the military? Now, in Afghanistan, I can understand, but isn't this more of a task for? And maybe we're getting far afield of your experience, Dale. But isn't this more of a task for the intelligence community?
It's a hand in glove deal.
Right.
The intelligence community has got to knock the bureaucratic barriers down and get in the back pocket of those military operators. In other words, they got to be the eyes and the ears. And we got to be the strong fist. Once we've got them spotted, once the intelligence guys tell us where they are, we've got to use our military capability to go in and whack them. And I use that term advisedly. That's what it's going to take. It ain't about capture them and put them before an international tribunal, because they won't let that happen.
Now, we're listening to a man, folks, that had 31 major combat operations that you were involved in Vietnam, and now you're in Hollywood. And
yeah.
I got to tell you something. I went on R. Lee Ermey's homepage.
Yeah, Nick,
that guy's a riot.
Lee's a good friend.
Oh, yeah. Is he really?
Yeah.
Would you tell him that we're huge fans of his? He actually called our show once.
He's a huge fan of yours.
Is he really?
Yeah, we talk about you all the time. You should hear that sometimes.
Well, he called the show one night. And
Maggot Henry did it again. You know,
the guy, I don't know that he knew what he was getting into, but he, every other word was F and S,
yeah.
and I said, you know, I said, Lee, please, you know, we're on the air live. He said, I'm sorry, Phil, I'll try to watch my language. As soon as I had him back on the air, it was F and S again.
That's him.
Yeah, the reason why I bring him up is everybody has an image, and it's kind of a warm image of the Marine.
I think we all see the United States Marine Corps as our kind of, those are our, they got our back. You know, the Army's great, the Air Force, everybody, but the Marines are the guys that got our back, and we have an image of them as being these hard-bitten guys who want to go in with guns blazing, and here you are, a Marine, counseling a much more of a finesse operation. And now, would you look at that as a finesse operation? If somebody were saying to you, okay, Captain Dye, now we want an operational plan on this, do you have a pretty good idea of what you would do?
Yeah.
Can you tell us?
Yeah, I do. Sure. I'll tell you basically what I'd start doing. Starting with the intelligence community. The intelligence community, I'm talking here about the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
We are lacking in what's called HUMINT, or human intelligence. There are several varieties of intelligence collection. ELINT, electronic, and FOTINT, you know, photographic, and so on and so forth. But where we're lacking is the spy on the ground,
right.
The guy on the ground.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has come about because we've made it sort of illegal to do that sort of clandestine thing. Well, that's got to go.
Yeah.
We got to go over there, and we got to get in bed with some people that we normally wouldn't sleep with,
mm-hmm.
and we got to say we need you in there,
mm-hmm.
and you need to be telling us stuff, and you need to be, and we got to supply them with the radios to get that information to us in a hurry, and then we've got to be prepared militarily, and this is where I think the Marine Corps comes in because we're always forward deployed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a Marine Expeditionary Unit out there right now, and we're sending another one. And, you know, they're going to be around in the Persian Gulf,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be hanging around in the Indian Ocean drilling holes,
mm-hmm.
ready to launch those attacks. And those attacks, I think, are going to be, or should be, company-sized, battalion-sized, going in and going after 15 or 20 guys in a cell.
Now, what's the size of a battalion, Dale?
About 850 men, something like that.
Isn't that a little bit bigger than what... Or is that a smaller operation than what would ordinarily be looked at?
It's a smaller deal.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
We're talking about a good size raid, but again, we're talking about a raid.
Yeah. All right.
But we've got it because of the distances involved, especially in launching something from the sea. You got to send more folks,
right?
So that you can provide security, so you can keep the back door open.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. That's what that's about.
All right. We're talking to Captain Dale Dye, and maybe you know the name, maybe you don't. If you've seen Saving Private Ryan, if you've watched Band of Brothers on HBO, if you've watched Platoon, if you've seen any of these outstanding projects, Dale is the military advisor, the military mastermind behind the tremendous realism and the tremendous experience that we have when we watch these films. He's the guy that choreographs. I know for Saving Private Ryan, you had to go out and get planes and tanks and hardware that you had to scrounge all over Europe for a lot of that stuff.
I really did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got a great Eisenhower complex standing up on that on that cliffside in County Curaghaill in Ireland,
watching them all hit the beach.
Yeah, 1,000 men. Yeah. You know, 7 ships at sea and 14 vehicles, and I was running them all on 5 radios.
And Dale, I want to come back to you. We're going to take a break.
Sure.
I could talk to you all day, but how much time have you got?
I got as much time as you need, Phil.
Right,
I really enjoy talking to you.
I appreciate that, man. Hold the line. Captain Dale Dye, he's retired United States Marine Corps captain. He's a senior military advisor on a variety of projects now, working in Hollywood in the film business. And he's talking to us about soldiers and what exactly is going to be asked of them as we commence this experience. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And I got retired Marine Corps Captain Dale Dye with us. And Captain Dye, again, as I mentioned, is a senior military advisor on such films as Saving Private Ryan. Also, he's working on Band of Brothers. And if you enjoyed those movies, he is a huge, huge reason why you did. He was the choreographer of all of the battle scenes and the realism of those films. And Captain Dye, I wanted to ask you, should I keep calling you Captain, by the way?
Why don't we try Dale?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's out of respect and everything. I think maybe you'll kick my ass or something if I don't. My brother-in-law is a Marine, and he beats me up regularly. Anyway, Dale, I wanted to ask you about this battalion thing that you're talking about. If we go into Afghanistan with a battalion, Are you talking about landing these guys with choppers? Are you talking about one of those huge transport planes? How do you get them from, whether it be Pakistan or a carrier or wherever they would be, on the ground in Afghanistan?
That's really where this Operation Infinite Justice, as it's now been dubbed, becomes a joint service deal. I mean, obviously, it's a long way. I mean, Afghanistan is landlocked. And, you know, it's going to be a long trip. We haven't had a whole lot of luck with that, if you look back at the Desert One debacle and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So, I think we're going to have to capture what's called an airhead, and so to speak. And,
yeah.
And
an airhead.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, you're it,
yeah,
man.
We gotta
you're
go
the airhead.
Mike Schaefer, yeah.
Yeah.
but we've got to have some land that we can put aircraft down on, that we can launch from.
Yeah.
And that land is going to have to be captured, and that's really the answer.
So we have to occupy a small portion of that country in order to launch our operations.
Yeah, we got to have an operational base in there if, you know, we decide that that's what needs to be done in Afghanistan. And that base will launch small units out to probe and chase and apprehend or take care of business.
Now, you look at the military today, you look at the Marines, the Army, everybody. What are our chances?
We got a great shot,
yeah.
Especially down in those, that's an overworked word, but in those elite units, those units that hit hard and travel light, like the Marines, like the Army Special Forces, like the SEALs, you know, these guys know how to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And they're aching to do it right now.
Oh, you know, I would imagine you've trained soldiers. I would imagine you got guys that are sitting there, and you've trained them to a razor edge, and they want to go somewhere and do something to somebody, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's the reason they're involved in that sort of thing. I mean, they're not in there to get college credit and turn a wrench and pound on a computer. They want to go do what they think their nation needs done.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, peacetime years can be an extraordinarily frustrating. The big leadership challenge is making training interesting, making it something that keeps, you know, the level of morale and interest up. And we've been good at that.
Well, it's interesting because peacetime, I really like it. I, as a civilian, I enjoy peacetime.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And so do soldiers, frankly.
Do they? Okay, good. Dale, I would love to ask you about Hollywood and what it's been like since you've come to Hollywood and worked with a variety of producers and directors, and what their idea of war is and what you had to educate them to. I bet you it's been interesting and frustrating and all those things.
It has, Phil.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons that I did it, I mean, I had this sort of half-baked idea when I first retired. I did one of those evenings of lots of beer and fuzzy-headed navel-gazing and trying to decide what I was going to do.
Yeah.
And I took that long legal pad and divided it down the middle and assets and liabilities. And, of course, the liabilities were much longer than the assets. You know, the mafia wasn't hiring that year. And,
that's right.
I'd been shot too many times to want to be a cop. So I had to come up with something. And what I came up with was that I was a tremendous movie fan, that I'd seen all the war movies there were. And the common denominator about all of this was that they pissed me off. They upset me because I knew it wasn't my experience, and I knew what my experience was much more interesting than, you know, what the dope smokers writing the movies were doing. So with only that vague notion in mind, I came out to Hollywood and tried to convince people that I had a better way of doing war films. Well, their reaction was, you're entertaining, kid, but, we've been doing this for 40 years, and we've made some money, so go away.
Yeah.
And it was only through, a serendipitous meeting with Oliver and my convincing him based on his own experiences.
Oliver Stone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I may be on to something here. And lo and behold, four Academy Awards later, Hollywood started to change its mind.
It's just tremendous. And do you still have your company, Warriors Incorporated?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm still trying to keep it afloat.
We're running around trying to find your phone number, and I saw your website. And I said, geez, Mike, here's his number, and, I don't know what but in any event, if you could hang with us for another 15 minutes, it would be awesome,
love
Dale. And I will also open up our phone lines. We're talking to a very interesting guy, a real pro, and he's lived the life, and he's walked the walk, and now he's doing it all in Hollywood, and he's got some very definite ideas and opinions about what's happening in our country right now. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to retired Captain Dale Dye, who is a military advisor on a variety of films, some of which he'd like to forget. But some that will live forever, I mean, in the lexicon of Hollywood. So hold the line there, Dale. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. And you're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. And I got Captain Dale Dye with me, and he is he's a Marine. You're always a Marine, right, Dale?
That's right.
Okay, he's a Marine, and he's also a military advisor on a variety of great films. I mean great, great films. Platoon, Saving Private Ryan, and now the tremendous miniseries Band of Brothers, which I've been hearing just brilliant things about, Dale. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. That's quite a project. Took us a year to do that.
And did you have Turd 1 and Turd 2?
I had 65 turds.
all those actors.
All of them.
I saw an interview with you, by the way, when you were working with the actors in Platoon, and you said, you know, I had to get their heads away from agents and girlfriends.
Yeah.
And make them believe that they were in a war.
Yeah, actors are really interesting guys. And I say that from both inside and outside the craft, but what they are really is standard human beings, you know, that are treated in an extraordinary way.
Yeah.
You have to unscrew their head and pour out all the crapola.
Yeah.
And then pour in the right stuff. You know, get rid of the me, me, me. Start making them think about us, mm-hmm. Screw the head back on, and they march on.
Yeah, it was a very interesting thing you said about, I think, Vin Diesel, who was, I guess he's a New Yorker, and was with the Yos and this, and you needed for him to be a soldier in the 40s.
Yeah, that's tough.
There wasn't any yo back then.
No, you don't, yo, yo.
Yeah. That's, yo, Captain.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he Vin Diesel pushed up a lot of the United Kingdom every time he said something like that.
All right. And by the way, I mentioned the name Lee Ermey. For those of you who might not know who we're talking about, Lee Ermey is the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket. If you see the very first half of that movie, it's a great one half of a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and in fact, Lee said, I said to him, well, now you were a star in that film, Lee. He said, I wrote half that damn movie.
He's right. Yeah. He did. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a couple of calls here, Dale, from a variety of people. Dale Dye is with us. And here is Frank. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dale Dye.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I had a question for Captain Dye. I want to get his opinion on the reserve call-up. I myself am a reservist. I've been called active duty. I wanted to find out how long he thinks that would last and what kind of numbers we're talking about.
Well, I tell you, Frank, there's 50,000 right along with you. And, you know, I think you're looking at least 6 months. What you're looking at is you may deploy, you may end up overseas. But this is not the time to be thinking about how long you got to be away from home. This is the time to be thinking about the country.
Yeah, it's tough, and I know that they have some of these guys have families, and maybe they're just trying to make plans for the future or whatever. But it is, like I said on the show after this happened, Dale, everybody's got to sort of change the way they've been thinking for a while here, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We've all hit the hold button.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way it's got to be for a while, and you know, it's about time we stop. Frank isn't whining. I happen to know Frank, and he's a good guy. But the plain fact of the matter is, this is not the time to whine. This is the time to pay back a little bit of what this nation's given us.
All right, here is Nestor. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dale Dye.
Thank you. How you doing, Captain Dye? Phil?
Good.
How you doing,
how
brother?
Are you?
I'm good, thanks. Just a quick comment. I was listening to what you had to do to those actors. Looks like you had to put them through boot camp, right?
Absolutely.
Listen, my question is, to get your opinion on, I understand what you were saying about capturing some of the enemy land and making an airhead so we could run our operations from there. My question is, in your opinion, what do you think we would do? From my understanding, Afghanistan is building up troops on the Pakistani border to kind of retaliate if Pakistan helps us.
Yeah.
Do you think that we will get involved and protect Pakistan if Afghanistan starts attacking them, and how much do you think that'll complicate the operation?
Well, it'll tremendously complicate it. I don't really foresee Afghanistan Afghanistan is not so much, you know, even the Taliban is not so much interested in Osama bin Laden. They know that that big stick that we carry is out there. And I think, you know, what they're trying to do right now is save face, try to make it look like they have a defiant, unified spirit and so on and so forth. But you have to remember that the people of Afghanistan are themselves prisoners. They're prisoners of the Taliban. And so they're not going to muster much support in the Afghan army and so on and so forth for rash, idiotic moves.
Like invasions of a country. Pakistan to Afghanistan is like the United States to Mexico. I mean, with all due respect, Pakistan has a much, I would say, much more disciplined armed forces, and they've got a leadership in that country that's more central and in more in control.
Well, they do, and you know, although we all hate to think about it, there's also the nuke.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That they're sitting over there with. So, you know, I'm not so much worried about incursions from Afghanistan into Pakistan. I think that's a lot of saber rattling up there on the border.
Okay, Dale, let me go to another call here. And we're talking to Captain Dale Dye, who is a military advisor, a veteran of much in the way of combat in Vietnam. And now he's in Hollywood helping them get the war movies right. Here is Phil. Phil, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dale Dye.
Thanks, Phil. I was in, about 6 months ago, actually last October, I was in Normandy visiting everything there and went through a tour. And they told me that the entire village of Caen, or Cannes as we say in the United States, was a victim of, quote, collateral damage. The entire town was destroyed, period, amen, and many, many people, obviously. And that seemed to be a cost of the Normandy invasion. We're very concerned that, you know, that there might be some civilians hurt, but doesn't it seem to be an unavoidable cost of invading a country?
Well, a couple of things here. First of all, I don't think we're talking about invading a country in the traditional sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're talking about carving out a niche,
right,
and defending it and using it as an operational base. The business of collateral damage, you're exactly right. When you go into a standard deal where you bring all your firepower on a massive scale to bear on a target or on an area, yeah, collateral damage is a definite concern. But you have to understand that the president, in his role of commander-in-chief right now, is looking for a coalition. He's looking for areas and nations and governments that will help us out in this thing in a lot of ways, provide us with operational bases, provide us with clearance to use their airspace and so on and so forth. So that the business of collateral damage is very much on everybody's mind, and in particular the military planners who are looking into how we're going to do this thing. Collateral damage is something we want to avoid at all costs.
Hey, Dale, you got guys, they have this this base of operations, and now they begin the process of smoking out and pursuing. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, I don't know, you know, this is just from all those war movies that I've seen, not the ones that you worked on, by the way,
yeah.
Dale, that there is going to be some kind of a flanking of our guys by Mujahideen or guerrillas or whoever's up there in the mountains. While they're running after bin Laden, our guys are being chased by who knows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that again brings us to this joint strike capability. I mean, we've got to have helicopters in the air. We've got to have attack helicopters in the air that are watching those flanks.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to have ground surveillance and reconnaissance, you know, to detect movement like that. We've got all that stuff. What we need to do is put it to work.
Hey, Dale, I'm going to let you go, and I can't thank you enough. I've got a full board of calls for you, but I'm going to move on and
okay.
Thank you and tell you it's a great pleasure to speak with you, and it's a great pleasure to watch your work in the movies.
Thanks very much,
and
Bill.
We certainly thank you for your service to the country as well.
Well, you're welcome, and I stand ready to do it again. And it's believe me, Phil, when I tell you, it's great Americans like you that are just, we're shouldering this thing, and we're carrying on.
I'm a great American. I appreciate that.
You are, pal.
All right, brother. All right. Dale Dye, thank you very much, Dale.
My pleasure, Phil. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Captain Dale Dye, and like I said, if you've seen Saving Private Ryan, Band of Brothers, Platoon, and a few other movies that I didn't have the temerity or the bad taste to ask Dale which of the movies you worked on that you didn't like, that you thought were pieces of crap. And of course, he's a very fine gentleman and wouldn't mention that, and I'm not going to mention that one of them's Casualties of War. But anyway, But he does great work and is a nice man and is a fan of the show and all of that. And seems to have, and you know, as an ex-Marine and a military man or a Marine till death, you're always a Marine. They're always watching and looking at the newspaper and watching the teams and watching what's going on and formulating opinions and formulating attitudes and plans. And what he just said makes about as much sense as probably anything we're going to hear. Unless, of course, our guys have got some other things up their sleeve, which I'm sure they probably do. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We remain in our news talk mode. We had a question on our website today, as a matter of fact. And it was part of our Phil Hendry Polls America question of the day. And the question was, the Phil Hendry Show should get back into comedy mode A, today, B, next Monday, and C, he's finally found his talent letting other people talk. And the winner was, at 69%, today. People want us to get back into doing the laughs. People want us to get back into doing the shtick. They want us to get back into doing the funny voices. All of the shtick with R.C. Collins, all of the goofy stuff with Harvey Weierman, Jeff Dowder, Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What is the Citizens Auxiliary Police doing now? Jay Sanos, whatever the hell he works at, the substation in the basement of his friend's house must be just buzzing with activity. They must be arresting everybody on the street for looking weird. They must be arresting any guy with a fresh tan. Some guy that laid under his sun lamp. And what's going on with our very dear friend Bobby Dooley at the Western Estates Homeowners Association? And what's happening with Margaret Gray? Is she talking to the members of the Hollywood elite? And what about Rudy? We haven't heard from Rudy for a long time. How's he see this thing as he travels around the world going la 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 to every woman that'll look at him twice? I'd love to talk to all those guys. I'd love to bring them back to life. But for now, and we're taking it day by day, we remain in news talk mode. Tomorrow, we'll look at it again. Friday, we'll look at it again. I'm thinking Monday. I'm thinking Monday. But again, if we launch military operations, then we're back in a whole new thing. This is, like I said, changed everybody, and maybe it's changed the way we do our radio show. I don't want to blow anybody's mind. I couldn't think of doing a radio show without being able to be funny or being able to bring some humor into what we do, because that's where I live. That's how I couldn't live if I couldn't laugh and crack wise and look at the world through the glasses that I look at it through. I would not be able to do this, and we'll do it, but right now, out of respect for our country, out of respect for the tremendous loss of life, And just so we can kind of get everybody focused and centered, we're doing our thing this way. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So I thought that was interesting. So in other words, we had a base of operations, and you have to take some portion of the country from which your operations commence. You have to get in the country, take over a plot of the area there so you can commence operations against this guy. Then you have to have intelligence to try to find him. When you say smoke him out, how do you know you've smoked him out? Do you have a huge spy satellite that's picking up his movement? Is there they do have spy satellites. I heard John McCain last night on the Tonight Show saying that our spy satellites literally could photograph, well, not literally, but I mean, it almost photograph, show you whether a guy's shoes are untied or not. I don't know whether you do that. So you get a base of operations, and then you launch from there, and you send your highly trained, specialized units in to where? To who? This is where all of that intelligence comes in. You know, there's just a certain amount of trust. I'm not going to sit here and second-guess everything we're going to do militarily. That'd be a hoot and a half. And the only thing funnier than me second-guessing everything militarily would be you guys doing it, with all due respect. I mean, all of us together going, I think what we probably should do is launch some kind of a Laurel and Hardy strike with a... We don't know. But we damn sure have opinions, and we have a right to have those opinions. So I thought that that was a interesting point of view that he had pertaining to that. He said battalion size, 850, that's a small force of people. So that's definitely not a huge division after division of Marines hitting the beach, and that's not what that's going to be about. And you've already heard people who are in the know say it. Now, tomorrow night, I think President Bush is going to be talking to the country. And he also said it's going to be a secret war, so forget about it if you think you're going to get every day, you know, daily updates. It ain't going to happen, and we can just have to, you know, we're going to have to live with it. And it's easy for me to say, but, you know, he said it better than me, Dale, when that guy called and said, I got called up by the reserves, how long do you think it'll be for? And the response he gave was, hey, you know, now's not the time to be thinking about how long you're going to be called up. Okay, now, last night Leno was on, Jay Leno returned to television. And it was very nice, and he was, in his way, forthcoming, and I, at this point, don't want to be critical, but you know what? Criticizing entertainment on television is not like knocking the United States military or politicians or making fun of people dying in New York, so I think I will. I think I'll say this. Jay, you were good last night, man, but would you stop looking at the teleprompter? See, in other words, Letterman on Monday night, this was a completely heartfelt thing that he was doing. He was speaking from the heart. He was speaking from his guts. He was tongue-tied. He didn't know what to say. He was emotional. You thought any second he's going to break down and cry. Last night I heard Jay talking, and he's a fine entertainer, but every time as he turned his head from side to side, there were the eyeballs on that teleprompter. And, you know, he's talking, and then he's checking out what next he needs to say, and then he's talking, and then he's looking down at the teleprompter. So you needed to lose that from your act. But other than that, very fine. He had John McCain on, who was, I thought, interesting. And then he had Crosby, Stills, and Nash on. Now, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, for those of you who don't know, are an old hippie, a bunch of fat hippies, tremendous performers in their day, and were very much a part of, culturally, critiquing and criticizing the U.S. involvement in Vietnam. There's a song called Ohio about the Kent State shootings that they did. And anyway, they were there sharing the same sofa there with John McCain, who was a Vietnam veteran and a prisoner of war, tortured by the North Vietnamese. I mean, horrendous, horrific experiences. And Stephen Stills, I don't know if you heard what he said, but he said to McCain, I have family that fought at the Alamo. I have family that were in World War II. And Senator McCain, I don't mind telling you this, and I'll tell it to your face, that even though there were those of us resisting the war, we were trying in our own way to get you out of there. Now, that may sound like a lot of self-serving baloney, but the fact is it's true, because if you remember those times, you remember people were marching in the streets with all kinds of signs. One of the signs that was all over the place was a sign that simply said, bring them back alive. It was everywhere in those days. Bring them back alive. It was about American troops and military in Vietnam. I'm not going to debate that war, so forget it. I had enough with John from Vietnam last night. But I thought it was a kind of an interesting performance. And then I think Letterman had on Tori Amos, who was terrific. Really sweet. And they're back, man. But nobody's doing shtick. Now, Mike made a very good point. The only television show that I can think of, and I was talking about taking my cue from Letterman in terms of when we're going to bring back the shtickaroo. The only TV show that we can think of that is some way parallels what we do on this show is The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and that show is dark. They're not producing that show right now. So that's why we are not doing the comedy version of The Phil Henry Show. We're doing this. But to come back with some stuff, I don't know what. We'll come back with your phone calls at 1-800-449-8686. I got no idea what you want to talk about, and I'm not setting the agenda, and I don't have a topic, and, you know... That's the way it is on this show. It's the Phil Henry Show.